Hello, welcome to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Game Republic Radio. This special series contains spoilers for the Capital Intrigue Community Expedition. This series also contains spoilers for Class Number 8, Class Number 9, and Class Number 17. Please enjoy responsibly. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Misadventures. Good to have you back with us again. Today we will be covering Scenario Number 3 in the Capital Intrigue, I guess, kind of side campaign. Going through it with the community here. So, as always, we'll begin with introductions. I'm Casey. I am playing Sorok and Seagram, the most worthless beast tyrant in the realm.
Wow. I am playing the quartermaster, Lord McRear.
Hi, this is Skip. I am playing Genevieve Ballcrusher, the summoner.
And I'm Steve. I'm playing as the brute Clardic Fug.
And when we last left off, we were escaping the prison successfully. Yep. And no problems at all doing that. And we had some options to make because most of the people escaped through the tunnels. And so it was like, hey, do you want to go up towards where it smells kind of bad, but like through actual man-made sewer stuff, or do you want to go into Poop Cavern?
You know, where the poop's collecting.
Yeah, and of course the esteemed community was like, Poop Cavern, please. So here we are. And, okay, so this was an interesting scenario. I feel like Isaac's trying to do a lot here. He's trying to try out a lot of interesting things. And there are some interesting things going on here that are kind of cool, but there's also some poor design, in my opinion, that kind of brings down a lot of what he's trying to accomplish here.
Yeah.
But we'll get into all that shortly. So I
do have my notes on this scenario in front of me. And they just say Casey Mad over and over, like it's The Shining.
No, that's fair.
I think
fair.
That sums up the scenario pretty well.
Yeah, we saw it. We saw it typed in the thing many times. Oh, right. As well.
And yeah, for those who don't remember, you know, we are playing this on Tabletop Simulator. We play the normal scenarios in person at Steve's lovely house, but you know, these we're doing on Tabletop Simulator so that we can stay up entirely too late on work nights.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, and this one felt like it played a little more rough. I don't know why.
It also took like 3.5 hours for some reason.
And that's probably why. It's just the whole scenario was just kind of rough.
Yeah.
Also, Casey and I didn't help by clicking stuff. And
oh, my God. Yeah, honestly, my favorite to set up a little bit.
My favorite part of the night was sneaking over to your attack modifier deck when you weren't paying attention and flipping the whole deck and then you getting confused.
Oh, like. I figured we broke something because we'd broken so much other stuff at that point.
Yeah.
Like if you're playing on Tabletop Simulator, the top right corner, that's just the forbidden area. There's lots of real cool looking things that you can click with weird words on them. Just don't.
Well, shall we?
We shall. All right. So the setup here is pretty interesting. There's four rooms and we have oozes. Yay. Living corpses, wind demons, and hounds. Yay.
I mean, technically only three rooms. That first thing.
There's four, yeah.
I guess if you're calling the rock thing.
There's four map tiles is what I mean.
Okay,
I got you. So we start off in a hallway that is 2 hexes wide by 12 hexes long.
And it's all difficult terrain.
Yeah, bonus fun times. It's all difficult terrain. All your movement is halved, which is really annoying when you're like me and you have move fives on everything. And so you move two on a move five, and I'm trying to move two characters. It's real good. Mm. Loved it. A much cooler thing is the left side of the map is like a ledge that you can fall off of. And if you fall off of it, you fall into like a pit, and there's a bunch of big nasty creatures down there. And then there's oozes up in your main way, which is just always sucks. But at least these do something interesting. They leave little goo piles when you kill them. And if you step on those, you slip to the left. So if you actually step on one of those, you could slip and fall down into the pit below. So that's kind of neat. Yep. And I believe my bear immediately gets kicked the
pit below on like round one.
Yeah, I forget what I it like was. Something had a push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uzes pushed him.
I like that Isaac said, you know, Uzes suck. How can I make them suck more? What can I do as a designer?
Well, we partially boned ourselves here because like turn one, I pitched this idea. Casey was on board with it. Nobody else brought up any objections to swap the brute with one of the forward Uzes.
Yeah. I mean, that basically gave you 24 movement points worth of go-go in one turn.
Right, but it would pull aggro of two of the Uzes to me. You guys could kill the one that teleported in. It seemed like a good plan.
Yep, I was 100% on board. It was a huge mistake.
I think it really wasn't super bad. They drew that push card. That really hurt up front.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Your bear was doing really good, and then all of a sudden he was gone.
Yeah. So he falls down, and it's like, okay, that's no big deal because I've got enough movement to get him back up next turn.
But there's
but they immobilize, and there's like 12 corpses down here, and they're all hitting for like 4+.
There's only 4 corpses.
I felt like there was more than 4.
Yeah.
But they were swinging for just massive damage.
Yeah. I think your bear got down to like 2 before he was able to get back out of the pit.
I feel like I pitched a card.
Something like that. He wasn't happy. He was very injured.
I wasn't happy either because, well.
I could tell. Like, you didn't even like undo the death animation on the bear that night.
No.
Nope, just left just, it.
So anyway, yeah, I swap you. You start doing useful things. I spend 3 turns getting my bear out of a pit.
Mm-hmm.
What's everybody else doing?
You know, we've got 2 oozes there that I'm stacking up on trying to get them killed and hoping to kill them in a column so that we can move around them and have like an ooze free path, you know.
Which you succeeded in.
Yes, I did.
I think I ended up catching up and stabbing the other one from the other side.
Mm-hmm. All that movement turned right back around.
I had my one card that would allow me to push them or basically move them one space. So I was pretty much walking them into any kind of trap damage I could use over and over.
I think you slammed one into a wall.
Yeah, I'd refresh that card multiple times just so I could do it again the next turn.
And then, Casey, you swapped, I think, that middle ooze with one of the corpses down below.
I did, because if I hadn't have done that, it was just going to be too much damage to negate for the bear. Yep. Like okay. So the big problem there was the corpses were pushing, right? And so if I left that corpse there, he was going to take 2 corpse hits, then get pitched into a 3rd corpse hit. And that was going to be like 3 attack 5s or something gross. Ouch. And I just couldn't do that. So I swapped him out. So it was just 1 attack 5 and an attack 2.
Yeah.
Which was just enough to get him.
And
back
I mean,
out,
it wasn't too bad having the corpse up there. He got a hit in or 2, but nothing major. We killed him. We ended up clearing it out, feeling good. And then I was like, hey, there's these 2 rocks, like formation thing to break to get to the treasure. I remember being all happy.
You embraced your inner brute.
So we've got treasure up above behind the rocks, and we've got treasure down below. And we pretty quickly were like, it really doesn't feel worth it to try to get down there to get that other treasure.
Because you had to have like 4 points of movement to get back up the wall, and it all had to be in the same turn. So it was going to get real nasty.
Like with our normal party, could have grabbed it, no problem. Would have been a quick thing, but just didn't feel like it was worth risking because this was already really tedious with all the double movement and.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just knock this wall down and grab this treasure and keep moving.
But yeah, so
easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
I'm up ahead by like 5 spaces or something from everybody else. And I'm all excited, right? Because I'm like, I can use this card that attacks 2 tiles. Casey, let me rules lawyer this one. Yeah. And
Wait. Before we go on, don't forget that all these tiles were what were they called? Dangerous or whatever
difficult,
it was.
Difficult terrain.
Yeah. Difficult terrain. Yeah.
Difficult terrain. So we couldn't even catch up to you anytime soon.
Yeah.
So,
they're 5 spaces back. I'm on these rocks, killing the rocks. And then I kill the rocks. And there's text to read, which is never a good thing. And what the text told me was that congratulations, you found a treasure. Oh, also, there's 2 wind demons here. And I believe...
I don't remember them being that big a deal in the past.
Because these wind demons added a push 1 to all their attacks, not just the cards that had that.
Yeah.
So every single attack they did was pushing.
they were probably hangry, like really bad, because well, they really messed with us pretty rough.
Yeah, they jacked us up pretty bad. Yeah. I remember you had a summon out, and Casey's bear was trying to close in, and Tots was moving in, and we're all just kind of jammed up around this corner trying to fight these things.
I wasn't jammed up because it took me 3 turns to get there.
Yeah, you were way back, which is a new a problem down the road that we'll address.
Yeah.
Remember, I had to be very careful with the order on it, because at one point, like, I was going to get pushed off, but I'm like, well, no, wait, that guy will attack me first, and then the other one will push me away down the hallway, not downstairs.
Yeah, that would have ended you if, like, you had like 1 hit point, you were going to take trap damage, and then you're going to be surrounded by the undead. It was not going to be good. Bad.
So I had to fall back and heal up. I came down 1
hit point a couple times too. It was sketchy.
Yeah.
My bear finally showed up, and I think he did 1 point of damage to a wind demon and killed it.
Hey, I'm proud of you, bear.
Yeah, man. Go bear.
He stuck it out. That bear had it on that move.
And nothing else. Well, I was I was closer to spawn than the rest of the party at this point with my actual vermilion person.
And this was where we decided that we were like, yeah, screw the other chest. Let's just pop the door.
Which, let's just get out.
I don't know. Might have been a mistake, too. I do not know. Because
I don't know.
We didn't know, right? Like, there's nothing we could have.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, right? I'm looking back to this and remembering all the distance you had to cover as a vermling. Now, if we had hopped down there and killed those corpses, you could have hopped down there, run at normal speed, and then hopped up on the far side.
Yeah, but also those elite corpses were hitting for like a default 4 or 5. Like, they were like taking half health.
Yeah, but we had
half of
brute and a
quartermaster.
Like, it would have been great. We would have been fine.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was. Anyways,
I mean, at the very least, it would have been smart to do our traditional door stack up, but. I mean, we didn't really worry about it. We got the heavy hitters at the door. We're going to go on through and just kill whatever's happening.
We such a stack everybody up. Too.
Yeah.
Not only was it a narrow map, but somebody killed an ooze right in front of the door, so there was only one hex we could go through without taking trap damage from a slide into a wall.
Steve.
What am I going to do? I mean, it was there. I had to kill it.
I mean, in his defense, he either killed in front of the door or to the hex you used. So,
right. There was no right answer there. Except to not swap, but we've already covered that.
Yeah. Anyway, so we pop open 3, and more wonderful good news. There's solid footing in this room, but it also...
Yeah, which immediately felt good about that.
This also triggered our end state, because we didn't know what our goal was going into this. Like, it says unknown until 3 is read. And so this is where it tells us, well, good news. If you can break those boulders, you'll trigger a landslide and kill everything before this. Awesome. Less awesome is the fact that the city's sending its hounds after us, which are starting at our spawn. And I think every turn there's going to spawn a new one. And there are...
Which in my mind was really cool, because like you've got all these hounds coming in, but it's difficult terrain, right? And so it's this like slow... impending doom timer, but you've got time to work it because everybody has to get on the other side of the pillars, which are stuffed back there. You have to get on the other side of the pillars, because if you're on the side of the pillars we're on, but when they get destroyed, you die, and that's a failure. So I was like, okay, so we got to race over and we're going to have these hounds nipping
Surprise.
On our toes.
The hounds aren't affected by difficult terrain.
They're very
Screw
nimble.
You,
They're very nimble. That, to me, like... It was a frustrating scenario, but it felt fair.
Until that part.
Then, right? Like having the hounds, you've got, did it start with 2 or 3?
It started with 2, and then after that, every round it spawned another hound.
Right. So every round a new hound hit.
They have 5 movement.
5 movement, ignoring difficult terrain. That just sucks. Yeah. Like it was really, really bad, especially with our we've covered this many times. Our party makeup isn't great. We didn't go out of our way to make a cohesive party that works together. A lot of these things could maybe be avoided, but not this.
Yeah, no.
Not this.
So Casey the Vermling is stuck.
Hanging out on my 6 hit points.
Yeah, you're stuck, 4 spaces away from spawn at this point? 5, maybe?
Yeah,
I'm coming out of the room that had the treasure, and I'm like, we're back and forth, like, all right, do I go to the next room and we just leave you? Or do we do I stop her and hang out and try to fight these wolves with you? And I think,
yeah,
because one of the elements too is that if anybody dies in the landslide on our party, we actually lose.
Right.
Right. So at this point, I think we are 6 or 7 turns before like we wrap this scenario up.
Yep.
I already had to go through all my cards and do math to see if I could even physically make it where we had to succeed.
Yeah.
Seven turns out, playing optimally, I had one hex worth of wiggle room.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that was me running through a slime that was going to push me and do trap damage. Like I had to take trap damage to even make it by a hex.
Nope. And we're trying to like navigate and make sure we have these openings for him. Because if we delay him even a single turn, yeah, it's just bone.
Well, thankfully that last tile wasn't difficult terrain though. So if it had been that way,
that would have been horrible.
You know,
hounds were attacking us on the first turn they spawned in because they're stupid and moved full speed.
Yeah, but I ended up getting between you and the hounds and putting some hurt on some of them.
I was gonna say like you had some shield going on. I was able to disarm one or two. Yep. You got lucky on a few draws. You did a good job of tanking back there, and you held out a little bit longer than I thought you were going to be able to.
That's what you said.
Which bought you some time to get ahead. But while this was happening in the next room.
Yeah, I ran all the way to the end of the next room trying to aggro everything in just the right pattern so that Casey could make it through, right? And Skip kind of had to pull a lot of slack up for us, which was nice. He saved some asses here.
I came in and started spawning various things, and then like they would die almost instantly because they were kind of smaller ones. I think I ended up spawning one of the retaliate one and shield one guy. I can't remember, Iron Golem or Iron something or other. So he took some damage, but yeah, there wasn't a lot going on until we could get the last two guys in.
I remember you had a living bomb out too.
Yeah.
And at this point, me and Casey had caught up.
No, once you guys came into the room, that's when I spawned the living bomb, waiting for the wolves. So that was the trick.
You ended up taking out like two of the wolves or something.
Yeah.
The bomb and my bear were able to defend off the hounds while we pushed pressure into the door. Once I finally got there, four turns later.
Yeah, it was actually
your bear was still there at that point.
It was pretty neat the way the bomb worked, because the bomb went up and attacked the first wolf, and he only does 1 point of damage, but my modifier deck is stacked with such big bonuses. I think he drew a +2 or +3, and it attacked him, but the wolf has retaliate, which in turn blew up the bomb, who in turn did like two more attacks at three damage each or whatever. So yeah, it got rid of one or two, I can't remember, and then the bear got rid of the others. The bear, I think, charged back out of the room to get the others, didn't he?
Yep, because
he was right around that doorway. Yeah,
because the new wolves were coming down. The bear didn't survive the scenario. He sacrificed
his
life.
He never does.
He lasted way longer than he had any right to. So
that's true. That's very true. And then there was a little bit of cheese at the end. When I was using that, like, run through something and deal an attack two to every tile you ran through.
Uh-huh.
Because I laid some heavy damage on the boulders doing that.
Yeah, I don't think it would have mattered. I mean, those of you who hadn't exhausted had plenty of time. You could have finished it up anyway, but...
But yeah, we ended up making it just barely.
it was tough. You know, maybe this whole random draw classes thing wasn't the greatest thing, but we're making it work. And, you know, we're grumbling the whole way through, but I mean, we're going to keep doing them because they are fun.
Well, I mean, I think
this one, I don't know.
There, like you said, there were some interesting concepts, and just like what Tots was saying, I think the hounds not having to slow down was a bit weak.
Well, I think beyond that, too, like, so the concept of taking things away from the player or hampering them in some way that they have to overcome can open up some really interesting design space. But when you hamper their movement for 3 hours straight, like, it's just annoying. It's not interesting at that point.
Yeah. Well, like, I'm looking back through the map now and kind of what we were talking about before, because I think after you open up that second room that like you fall in the pit, people can choose to jump down there. Is that correct?
You could, you had to take trap damage to do it, but
But now that I'm looking at it, I'm thinking like, well, if we had a part as a party decided, like, one, we didn't swap out on turn one, but had decided as a party, hey, let's just jump down there. We'll fight the living corpses and then not have to worry about most of the movement restriction. I think that would have made the playthrough very, very different.
Yeah, also, but at the same time, that's like four or five more enemies we would have had to have fought through, because we still would have had to fought all the oozes, and yeah, they would have been splitting while we were up there.
No, we could have bypassed the oozes. Yeah. The idea is you walk down the thing and then come back up once you're past them.
And then we wouldn't have gotten loot number two.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Maybe. Well, we also didn't know what was down there. That was the whole thing behind
it. Well, no, I'm saying once we opened it up.
Yeah.
Like, once the bear was down there, if I was still back and we had all decided, yeah. Or if we had failed the scenario and had to play it again, I probably would have gone for that. Because, I mean, that's what, 7 movement tiles to get across?
Yeah.
Versus 12, which is 24.
Yeah, and actually, what we could have done is, if we had all jumped down there, I could have spawned a summon, so it would have forced all the oozes to keep moving down until they're in range, so it would have even been farther down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, so, pro tip for anybody listening who hasn't played the scenario yet.
Anyway, we made it through.
Yep.
The vote this week is, hey, which of the treasure tiles did you loot? None, treasure 2, treasure 3, or both? And both is winning by a large margin because you all lie.
You're really trying to alienate the community here, huh, Casey?
You scaly bastards with your intelligent party compositions and well-planned play. We don't need your crap around here. It's fine. The next one's going to make up for it. I just know it.
I'm looking forward to what the city event card is tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the vote options are tomorrow and knowing that that's not what's going to get voted.
We'll just vote against what you want. And then, yeah.
Does that work or does that make me part of the problem?
Well, I've been voting what I wanted and it keeps going the other way. So let's try something different tomorrow. See how it goes.
I mean, okay. There's always the option that maybe we're wrong, but I seriously doubt that.
Yeah, I seriously doubt that as well.
Who goes into a tunnel where poop is collecting? That is objectively the wrong choice.
Maybe other people don't have the same aversion to ooze that we do. I don't know.
That's true. That one guy has not found any oozes.
Like, he should be like singing the praises of God and like dancing down the streets and like, I don't know what his problem is.
Well, I'm sure he'll find him eventually.
They're probably hiding with all the cultists.
All right, guys. Well, we will be back with you again next week to look at scenario number 4 in this Capital Intrigue campaign. And hopefully things go better than this time.
Yeah.
And thanks for joining us once again.
Yeah. And, you know, before the next episode, make sure swing by your doctor, have your salt levels checked. You might be getting a little too much from the podcast. You can tweet us at GPub Radio. We're misadventurespodcast.com. It's got links to all the socials, contact information and all that. Would love to hear from you guys. See how you played out the scenario. Hear what your party comps are. Tweet at us. Let us know. And we'll see you guys next time.
You've been listening to Misadventures, a Gloomhaven podcast brought to you by Gamer Public Radio. Please join us every Friday for new episodes at misadventurespodcast.com or find us on your podcast application of choice. Music for this podcast is provided by Kevin McLeod. For more of Kevin's work, please check out incompetech.com. See you next time.